You know, Roy Rogers did his last album, and I never dreamed when we was little kids, we got asked to sing the lead-off song on his last album.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Who would have thought, I didn't know when that. You was a kid, that you would, watching Roy Rogers' show, that one day, and you'd get to sing on a record with him. And
oh,
that was a
my.
Big thrill. Well, what was that other show?
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb the
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easier.
WiseEye. Legacy Farm and Land presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. We are in the studio at K-Country 95. And in the studio, Redbone Mike Crace, Wayne Locke. Guys, it's football season. It is fall is close.
Fall is close.
It's close.
And football season.
Friday Night Lights.
Yep. By the time y'all hear this, another Friday, week three will be gone already.
Yeah, we're 0-2.
We're 1-1.
Yep. Well, we play you guys Friday night.
Yeah.
And
that can be a good one.
We've got to do some changes. We got to move some guys around. We had Adrian 14-0 at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back and let them beat us.
Yeah, but they're really good.
Discipline, 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 discipline. You can't make mistakes. And that's what we're doing. We got a bunch of young players, and hey, we're good. We're not consistent. We'll get it together. I think we'll be a late blooming, really good team. We just got to figure things out. I think we got good coaches, you know, Jansen Ackland. You know, his dad's one of the greatest coaches ever hit the Ozarks, you know, so he'll figure it out. The Chiefs play tomorrow night.
Well, Thursday, record Wednesday, Thursday. No Chris Jones, and looks like now no Travis Kelce.
What?
He hyperextended his knee at practice yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And is doubtful for the game, although they did find out, and again, we're recording on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did find out there was no structural damage and no torn ligament, so it's just a matter of getting the swelling to go down and see if he can play through the pain.
Yeah.
They officially have called it a bone bruise.
Okay.
Well, those are nasty.
Those are nasty.
Those are nasty.
Yes.
Because they can last for a long time.
What about the Cleveland Browns?
Cleveland. You know what? You're the only person that asks about the Cleveland Browns, because even in Cleveland, they don't ask about the Cleveland Browns. But no, I'm looking forward to the Steelers game. They play the 49ers this week. Pickens and Pickett, I think, I'm telling you, it's going to be the combo to beat this year for our division, I'm talking. You know, Cincinnati, of course, they're going to be good.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I may interrupt, Cincinnati's going to be the team to beat.
They've been on top the last couple of years.
I'm telling you, that quarterback they got, hey, he can thread a needle.
Mm-hmm.
That boy is good. Burrows?
Baltimore does pretty good.
Yeah.
All I got to say is the Super Bowl champions are the team to beat until they are no longer Super
exactly
Bowl
right.
champions.
Exactly right.
You're exactly right. You are. The Chiefs are going to be good, but talk about Jones real quick. What happened? They just could not come to an agreement.
They're $10 million apart.
Only $10 million.
Now,
$10 million.
Well, when you're talking about $200 million, that's really not that much money. So here's the deal. Just today, the guy from San Francisco signed a deal making him the richest paid defensive player in history. So that throws another monkey wrench, because now Jones is going to want to make even more.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So, and the thing that bothers me about this guy is they're already making, you know, $17 million a year. That's what Chris Jones is due this year, $17 million. He's being fined $100,000 a day for every day he misses camp. You signed a contract. Now think about this. You're Patrick Mahomes a year ago. You restructured your contract, took a pay cut so they could sign Chris Jones for two more years.
So he went to the helm. He went to the helm for Jones.
Yes. So did Kelsey. Now Jones played 1 year. This year he's under contract.
He done them wrong.
But he refuses to go play.
He done Kelsey and Mahomes
and
wrong.
I know sports
the Chiefs
is
wrong.
Bit, I know in sports are a little bit different than regular business. But if it was a regular business, he would be in breach of contract.
Yeah.
He's under contract till the end of the year.
Yeah, there's a couple Steelers that did that back in the early 2000s, late 90s. And the Rooneys were very simple. Don't honor your contract, you don't play. They just let him sit the year out. They didn't. They refused to get him paid.
Well, that's kind of what the Chiefs have done now.
That's good.
Yeah. And, but anyway, it's an unfortunate situation.
Current events.
Yeah, I got a couple of things here. And I mentioned this last week. The Mammoth Spring Fish Fest. Alex, this is a cool deal. Out the Mammoth Spring Fish Hatchery. All kids 12 and under can go in, and they got the pond stocked with catfish.
Cool.
Anywhere from 1 or 2 pounds all the way up. There's some 5 and 6 pounders in there. I mean, there's some good fish. They can go in, they get to catch 3 and keep them and take them home and, you know, have them for dinner or whatever. So, you know, if you're like Wayne and got a family of 47, you can catch enough fish to last for, you know, a year. Anyway, that'll be on Saturday, September 23rd. Again, that's over behind the Mammoth Springs State Park. They're also going to have a BB gun and an archery range to teach kids how to shoot. That'll be from 11 to 1. Free lunch for all the kids that go to participate. And the fishing derby is from 9 to 1 for ages 15 and under.
I've got a couple of announcements to make. CRSA, Current River Smallmouth Association, is having their September tournament this coming weekend at Van Buren, Missouri. You can pay your entry fees upon arrival there. You pay at Watercrest Landing. Also, the River Masters Elite Series Classic Championships will be held September 30th at Van Buren, Missouri. There is 8 qualifiers that made the Classic Championships out of the series. We will be giving away, Wayne, you're going to love this, 10 rod and reel combos to kids at this weigh-in. So bring your kids to the weigh-in at 4 o'clock September 30th, Watercrest Landing. We're giving away 10 rod and reel combos, Redbone.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we want to get kids. The whole message behind River Masters is to get kids involved in fishing. You know, we're trying to give something back. You know, we got all these great support from all these sponsors all across the country and our local sponsors. We thank them very much. There's 25 of them at $100 a piece. So think about that. Yeah, so
And my son won the last giveaway. Yeah, he won one. And then he had Rick York. He bugged Rick York to show him how to. Didn't want dad to show him. He wanted Rick York to show
Rick,
him.
Mr. Bassmaster.
Show him how to get out there and do it. And he had a blast with it.
Before we take the break, I know we got a special guest coming to the show. It's going to be huge. I know all about these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I've emceed shows that they've played.
Well, let me just say this. October 7th, they're going to be playing live in concert at Van Buren, Missouri.
Yeah.
And at the Landing.
Before we go there, I mentioned last week we had the car show at Mammoth Spring.
Yep.
Alex, you missed it.
Oh, I know. I couldn't get away.
270
cars. Oh, my gosh.
Registered for the judging. Over 300 were there because you could go and just put your car in and not be judged.
Right.
Over 300 cars at the Mammoth
Spring. I drove my double nickel to the studio today.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, when we come back, our special guest, if you love country, pop rock, country rock,
southern
hillbillies gone wild, Kentucky Headhunters Richard Young will be joining us in the next segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, y'all, it's Tyler Farr, and you're listening to my good buddy, Mr. Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
Off the farm, wishing on some love. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, Redbone, did you hear about that new deer feed?
What new deer feed?
Hey, Buck Grits, boys. You ain't heard of that yet?
Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com.
Well, tell us about it. What makes it better than any other deer feed?
Well, Buck Grits has got the protein a deer needs. It's got the fat a deer needs. It's got the amino acids. It's got the energy. It's got it all, brother. It's going to bring them back after the rut, and it's going to put a rack on their head.
And it's going to help the lactating does, I assume, too, after they have the fawns.
That's right. Keep the fawns going and get them for the next crop.
Well, where can I get Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com. You can get a sample, you can order it directly from the website, and we're coming to a retailer near you.
If you want
to
help a deer herd, use Buck Grits.
Across the creek up a big old hill, year after year, got
fueled by Hornady presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors. We have one of the greatest groups in country rock that you've ever heard of on the phone. And as promised, Richard Young of the Kentucky Headhunters is on the phone with us right now. This hillbilly Kentucky boy is going to bring it to us today, folks. Richard, welcome to the show.
All right. Well, thank you, man. It's Richard Owen Young on the phone.
That's right. Mr. Kentucky.
Did you call me Thomas?
Yeah. All right.
Hey. No, I'm not a Tommy.
Okay.
No, I'm a Richard.
You're a Richard. I love it. I love it. Have you been
Owen.
Okay.
And obnoxious.
Have you been finding any arrowheads? Because I know you love to look for arrowheads.
I can't be telling you about what I found. Yeah, man. I've had a pretty good year. You know, I started, guys, when I was 10 years old. Of course, we live down here on the farm, and Beaver Creek starts at the head of a farm and comes out of a cave. It's not very big right there, but we've got a lot of big springs, bubbling springs and things, and then we've got another big cave up next to my son's house, and it's almost like another creek coming out of there.
Wow.
And so that all that area through here on our farm, it's 700 acres, so the creek runs through it, and it's a couple, some pretty good bottoms down there, and we've got the we used to just have hay in it, and a buddy of mine, David Wisdom, he started raising tobacco on us again.
Uh-huh.
And, all my schoolmates, they became professional farmers, and we became amateur musicians, But, yeah, I've been finding some pretty good stuff. You got to wait till the moon's right, though. When the moon's a certain way, it pulls rocks up to the top of the ground.
Wayne White said that.
That's what I say all the time.
I don't understand the scientific side of it, but I do know that when there's a full moon, out after that full moon, I can find more stuff, especially red moon.
Wow.
But, tobacco now, it's over your head, so I can't hunt. But I've had a pretty good spring season, and it's good exercise. Once they plow the ground, then they disc it to set the tobacco, and it'll come a good rain.
Yeah.
Then that's a good time to hunt it. I'm not much on them walking that plowed ground when they first plow it because it'll stifle you. Matter of fact, I got my hamstring messed up right now from that. But if you get out there after a good rain, and then those arrowheads will shine like new money and things.
I got a question for you, Richard. Richard.
Yeah.
Question for you. You told us you was born and raised there in Kentucky. What town? Somerset? Is that right?
No.
Danville.
No, honey. We're from South Central Kentucky. We were raised. Our farm is between Edmonton and Glasgow, Kentucky.
Okay, Glasgow. So tell us about your roots. Tell us about you and Freddie, your family, real quick. We got about several minutes left here. Go ahead.
Well,
tell us about your roots, your family.
Our family moved here. I guess all this acreage and things, some of it came from, part of our farm came from, we had a very distant uncle that, or grandfather that was in the Revolutionary War, who was one of the main officers of Nathaniel Greene. And when the Revolutionary War was over, a lot of his officers were given plots of ground, in the state that they were from. And us being in Kentucky, we got, a land grant of quite a bit of land and on one farm. And then that's over on the other side of the road, though. But Daddy's been able to hang on to 235 acres of that. And it's never had a fence on it, but... We live down here on the farm in Metcalf County, and my grandmother, Effie Young, she bought a an extra 100 acres of land. Oh, I think it was 1966 or 67, and added on to the farm. And people started wanting to rent. There was an old clapboard farmhouse on the creek there, and they wanted to rent it, and she didn't want to deal with renting out property or whatever. So she got the wild idea to let her grandsons and their two cousins move into this old farmhouse and practice our music, because we was driving Mom and Daddy crazy down there. And that's really where we started at. I mean, at the old practice house. And I mean, pretty much, I mean, it's still standing. We still go in there and rehearse and write songs, that sort of thing. And of course, Blackstone Cherry, my son's band, 20 years ago, when they got out of high school, they said, well, we're going, well, it wasn't even out of high school. They said, Daddy, we want to start a band, Chris and I, and we won't move in the old practice house. And I thought, well, I'll burn it down. But anyway, they, you know what? I told them, I laid the rules down. I said, well, you got to help me keep it clean and, you know, take care of it just like we have.
Yep.
And they were actually better at it than we were, you know. And they'd bring their girlfriends down there and let them mop the floors and clean the house.
I love it.
They'd practice. But, you know, that's kind of where the whole music scene from this area came from. And just to add to it, I'll back up in a minute, but I wanted to tell you that for the bluegrass listeners out there, is right down the creek from Beaver Creek, go a little ways down the creek, was where Courtney Johnson lived, the great banjo player who played in Newgrass Revival. And so they used to practice there down the creek, and we was up there with the rock and roll amps and drums. And there was an old man that lived down the creek in between us, and he said, y'all going to have to pick different times to practice. When y'all both practice, I can't sit out in the yard of the evening. It messes up my equilibrium. Said, on one ear, I'm hearing the banjos and fiddles and mandolins, and the other, I'm hearing all these old loud drums and guitars. And he said it messes his thinking up, his equilibrium. So, but that down here is where we got started. And, of course, Fred and I live down here at Mom and Daddy's on the farm. And we, you know, we raised a biker and corn beans now. But back then, you know, the main cash crop in Kentucky was the biker. And all the farmers around here, that different farmers own land, it's, you know, it's different now. They have more equipment and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. But back in the day, we had the white families and African-American families that had farms, and they all joined each other.
Yeah.
And they would move into one farm where the tobacco was, and they would help set it, and they would help, you know, cut it and put it in the barn. And then they'd move to the next fella's farm. And when they would come to our farm, Daddy and them would have us out there dropping tobacco sticks. I don't know if a lot of people know what a tobacco stick is. It's about a 4-foot stick by an inch and a quarter square. And that's what you, when you cut the tobacco, you put it on those sticks, about 5 planks of it. It's pretty heavy, and with a spike, and they'd run a spike through it, and then they would hang it in the tobacco barn until it cured, and then they'd strip the tobacco and carry it to the market. But what was great about it is, you know, we weren't big country music people, y'all. Mm-hmm. We grew up in, you know, our parents listened to Benny Goodman and things like that, more jazz and rock, and you know, that sort of music. You know, Frank Sinatra or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, so when we got our education in the tobacco fields, because there would, all these families would come together, and you'd have guys imitating Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis, and you'd have people, mm-hmm. you know, imitating Hank Williams. And then you'd have these great African-American spirituals been sung by the African-American families. And so all, when we was dropping these tobacco sticks, we didn't realize it, but we were absorbing that like a sponge.
Yeah.
And you know, it in years, you look back as a kid, of course, we were staunch rockers. We grew up listening to you know, English rock bands like Cream and Free and a lot of those groups, you know. And
Richard.
And of course, the Beatles and the Stones.
Richard.
And,
Richard.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there as you're saying all those names, Redbone saying, we got to take a break, but this is so good.
He's
naming bands that I love. Hey, we're going to have to go to a break here, Richard. Don't go away because we got
How long have I got?
Oh, you got 8 minutes per segment. You only went 10 and a half minutes that time. So, eight minutes per segment.
How long have I got till the next one starts?
Oh, 5 seconds. We're going to go to a break.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm good.
Now, don't hang up. We're going to break. Everybody, we come back. We got more.
My head up.
We got more Richard Young right after this. Don't go away.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never gotta worry.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
Some extra clover in it. What?
Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Eagle Seed presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors again. Richard Young of Kentucky Headhunters talking about his American roots.
Let me throw something out there because I've always wondered, never had an opportunity to ask Richard, and I've interviewed him a couple of different times before. Richard, Itchy Brother, that was the original name for the Kentucky Headhunters. Where did that come from?
Well, let me back up. The first we should explain to everybody. That from 1968 to 1985, is our band was called Itchy Brother, and we started an old music house by the mid 70s, we've gotten pretty good because we had a little place to landing strip, and we started playing, Bowling Green, Kentucky was a hot spot.
Sure.
Yeah.
When the Southern Rock hit, and there were a couple great Southern Rock bars there, and they were hosting bands like Charlie Daniels and the Outlaws and, you know, Hydra and all these great groups. And we actually were able, J.R. Spillman owned it, and he was a friend of the family, and he would let us come down and open for all these bands. So when we were still in high school, we were getting to open for these bands like this, and we couldn't stay in there. We just play, and then we had to take our gear out. And back then, we didn't have a van or anything. Daddy would carry it down there in a pickup truck for us. And we would stand there at the back door of the Yellow Hydrant. They would leave it open. That's where you load the equipment in now. And it was always hot in there. Didn't have no air conditioning. And so we would stand as kids on the sidewalk out there and watch for the watch the bands that we had played with, Outlaws, Charlie Daniels, whoever we got to play with.
Yeah.
Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels and, Iron Butterfly, whoever. But we got to play with that, when we were still in high school. And when we got out of high school, we went to, they've been watching us like ball players. We'd gotten pretty good, and we was playing down south and up north. By that time, we had a bread truck, and a couple of us had driver's license. And I can't believe our parents let us run up down the road in a bread truck. They did. And they trusted us, I guess. But Capricorn Records showed an interest in us, and that was 1976, I guess. And about that time, boys, what was going on was disco was setting in the big cities, and we just kind of got there a little. The train had kind of left for Southern Rock when we got there, and it's back now, but it had gone. And we were down there, being groomed to be a Southern Rock band down in that area, and hopefully with Capricorn Records. And, you know, then Ronnie Van Zant and those guys and Leonard Skinner had their bad luck, had a plane crash. And the next morning, we kind of just got up and looked at each other and said, there ain't nobody going to sign a Southern rock band right now. So we came home, and, of course, we met a year later, we met Mitchell Fox, who worked for Led Zeppelin. And they had their own record label called Swan Song. And I'm sure a lot of listeners remember that big man with the wings on the label and all that. And they showed an interest in us and started working with us. And we were doing some tapes and hoping, you know, had high hopes to be on Swan Song Records. And then the drummer, John Bonham, passed away in 1980, which pretty much dissolved that opportunity. And sadly enough, Led Zeppelin. To go back and answer that question that you boys asked, I wanted to catch you up to speed about how much hardship and also how much hard work and a lot that went on through those Itchy Brother years. But that name, when we started in 1968, Fred and Anthony, our cousin, they were just 11 years old. And the only time we could practice was on Saturday because we went to school, of course. And we would all be down at Mom and Daddy's, but Fred and Anthony, they wouldn't go to the practice house. I mean, imagine them little kids, I mean, playing drums and get them. Y'all, I don't know that they actually got that much better when they were older. They were good. But it was funny because they wouldn't go to the music house and practice with me and Greg until they got to eat their Kellogg corn plates and watch their cartoons. I mean, that's the truth. And, and it's like the one cartoon, I don't know, some folks will remember it out there. It was called Bongo Congo. And it was there was two lions. One of them was called King Leonardo, and he had a subject that was a real safe guy that helped him called was a skunk named Odie Colote. And then there was kind of a real scraggly a brother of his. He didn't mount much. He was a little lightweight, but he was called Itchy Brother. And he had this guy that looked kind of like he was a rat, but he was dressed up like a gangster. And that was Biggie Rat. And Biggie Rat wanted to control Bongo Congo, so he was using Itchy Brother to get to his brother. So, you know, it's kind of trying to overthrow the king. And we just thought, since that was cartoon, that name, it was pretty cool. And we thought, well, If we got to watch, you know, Itchy Brother, we'll just call the band that. And that's where that name came from.
Wow. That's pretty dang cool, man. That's American roots right there.
It's American something.
American something.
I'm thinking to myself, you know, at least they weren't watching Scooby-Doo. This could have taken a whole nother turn.
It could have.
Scooby-Doo came along a little after our time, but... You know, there wasn't just Itchy Brother. We had to watch, you know, Roy Rogers and Pete and Dale Evans Trigger and Bullet and all that and different ones.
Lone Ranger.
And Lone Ranger. You know what was really one of our things that I have the most memory about is, you know, Roy Rogers did his last album and I never dreamed when we was little kids we got asked to sing the lead-off song on his last album.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Who would have thought when you were a kid that you would watching Roy Rogers' show that one day and you'd get to sing on a record with him. And that was a big thrill. Well, what was that other show we watched? Y'all know y'all saw it, Sky King.
King and Captain Kangaroo.
Remember the airplane? Wasn't that great?
Yeah. Captain Kangaroo, Sky King.
They don't make TV that anymore. And Richard, we need to take another break. Folks, we'll be back more with Richard Young of Itchy Brothers, a.k.a. the Kentucky Headhunter.
And the Kentucky Headhunter.
Kentucky Headhunter, right after this.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Waddy with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp, 24 volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.
They ain't down. We'll be waiting when they hit the ground. Big time coming, it's what we do. From a whippoorwill to an old owl.
Buck Grits presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors. What a great show we've covered so far with Richard Young, Wayne Redbone, talking about his American roots. I never knew their band was called that before that.
No, I had no idea either. That was new. And I'm still getting over the fact that who he opened for on that last album.
Yeah.
That's just mind-blowing to watch him as a kid.
Yeah.
You grew up watching him, and then to be able to play on the album.
In. The Headhunters from 68 to 85 are called Itchy Brother, and you need to go back and listen to what we talked about. It's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah.
That sounds like it. And, of course, Kentucky Headhunters, you know, kind of hit with my favorite Headhunter song, which is Walk Softly on This Heart of Mine.
Oh, I love it.
Which was written by the King of Bluegrass, Bill Monroe.
That's correct. That is correct.
How in the world did that
pick up? Bill Monroe and Jake Landers.
Yeah, Jake Landers, right.
And, you know, we were talking, y'all, earlier about how staunch Southern rock people we were in blues. I mean, if somebody told me, in the mid-70s, late-70s, even early-80s, that we were going to put an album out in country music that was going to change our lives, I'd run them out of the room. I laughed at them. And, yeah. You know, we were just real lucky, guys. You know, what happened was, it was a different time than the Marty Stewart said best. We said they raised the window up by the crack and we crawled in. but that's true because, you know, country music, what we do is way different than normal country music. But what people liked about the Headhunters from day one is they liked the jazzed up rock music that they grew up with. But what we had was rural sensibilities in our lyrics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you recall about the time we came out in 1990, MTV was going. What we call hair metal, rock metal. There's great bands like Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue, Cinderella, all friends of ours. But bands that were in that era, they were doing. The audience was different. So a lot of folks that really like rootsy folks, maybe that didn't dig that as much on MTV, were drawn to a new marketplace, which was called CMT.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very lucky because at the time, CMT was privately owned. And the guy, this, you know, they needed as much good talent and video footage as they could get to run on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the most of the bands or the acts in country music were a little more laid back than the Headhunters.
Mm-hmm.
and Randy Travis and whoever, George Strait, you know, friends of ours, but they weren't one that would jump through hoops, you know, and fire and stuff. I mean, we were entertainers and comedians besides players. And so all of a sudden our video started coming out on CMT, and it's like it kind of filled a void for the old rocker crowd that grew up with the Lynyrd Skynyrds and grew up with the you know, the Led Zeppelins and whoever, those bands, Charlie Daniels, you know, and
Marshall Tucker.
It gave us more boost than anything, because naturally when we first came out, our first Walk Softly came out on radio, and it terrified country radio. Mm. I mean, they couldn't see playing it, the most people. And gosh, I think if I look back, it's kind of funny, because you look back, I think that song only went to like 25 in the charts.
Yeah, wow.
And it was like it was a world changing song, I guess.
Yeah.
For music in the country music or rock and roll, whatever. But video's what really broke us, y'all. It made radio have to take a look at us, because still in those days, you remember, you could still call most radio stations up and say, "Hey, play that new song by so and so. I want to hear it." You know.
Hey, Richard.
And yes, sir.
Yeah, I told Wayne a story before we hit the air today, while we're waiting on Alex to get here. I remember back then I was on the air and playing "Walk Softly on This Heart of Mine," and the phone rang. Guy said, "Hey, well, thank you for playing my boy's record." And I was like, "Pardon me?" And it was the Phelps brothers. It was their dad.
Yeah.
And he was just
driving
Phelps
through. He said, "That's the first time I've heard it on the radio."
You know what, man?
Thank
I remember
it.
Arthur telling me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that song was written actually by Bill Monroe and Jake Landers. Jake Landers was from Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Yeah.
And that song came in, you know, originally the headliners are like they were now, just me, Fred, Doug, and Greg, starting in 86. And Doug's brother, Ricky, joins later.
Yeah.
And he actually brought that song to us and said, "We ought to do a bluegrass song." And he started playing on acoustic guitar, and we're like, "No, man, that don't fit us." And I said, let's mix it up. So that's when I came up with that intro with that heavier guitar, and everybody just kind of kicked in, and you know, it was a jam.
Yeah.
And we never changed it. I mean, we really just jammed on it, and but it really fit the band.
And I think you guys coming in on CMT when they were new, you came in at the right time, because, you know, if those listening to CMT, you know, you had Clint Black play, and then you'd have Patty Loveless play, and then when your song would make some heads turn quick.
They're all friends of ours, and we love it. But it was more standard country music.
Right. Yeah, it made some heads whip around when that song came on and people were just in their house listening to CMT.
Well, you know, one of the things too, Richard, was once we saw you on video and you know, got a chance to look at you guys, and those of us that were old rockers, we're like, "Oh, we're sure glad they're not wearing spandex."
Yeah. They wore overalls.
Well, I guess so.
They wore overalls, buddy. Yeah.
Johnny Winters is a great blues guitarist and singer from Texas, probably said it better than anybody. He said, well, there's two things, two different people said stuff. Johnny Winters met us at the American Music Awards. He came over and he said, "I love you guys. Y'all play in your work clothes."
Yeah, that's right. I love
it. It's true. And Minnie Pearl, when we met her, which what a great lady. And,
yes.
You know, anybody that's I had never seen Minnie Pearl, you know, outside of just the, you know, the hat and with the tag and all that. And we would see Minnie at functions. And let me tell you something. You talking about a high-class dresser. I mean, you would see her, and she'd have on like a beige linen dress and her hair done up.
Oh, yeah.
It was a different person.
Right, and she never changed throughout the year. She never changed. Hey, Richard, I know we're going to we're gonna have to wrap the radio show up here. We're going to have to wrap the radio show up.
You know what she did? She came up to me, and she said, I love you boys. Said, y'all help find humor about the country music.
Hey, Richard, we're going to wrap up the radio show. Then hang on here, and we're going to do a bonus segment for the podcast. That is great about Minnie Pearl. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more about it.
Wow, oh, man. Hey, are we off the air?
Not yet. Hold on.
Hey, no, I mean, we ain't talking now, right?
We're still recording.
Let us wrap the show up. Hold on.
So we're going to, if you want to listen to more, if you want to listen to more, Richard, just tune into your favorite podcast carrier on your Apple, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. Catch us the bonus segment there.
Remember,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never got to worry, what the wind might do, American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland? Contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialist, LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449. Amped Outdoors presents American Roots Outdoors bonus segment, podcast segment. If you're listening to this, you're listening to it, obviously, on your favorite podcast carrier.
Yes, and we want to thank you for listening to us on the podcast. And make sure you hit the subscribe, like, follow, whatever it says that you need to do. And you get your notifications every week that we're on. And if you missed any of the radio show, you can go back and listen to the radio show in its entirety, along with the bonus segment. And we got 3.5 years of great stuff for you to listen to.
And great stories from Richard Young.
Richard Young, the legend, man, the GOAT.
Yeah.
Country rock. Hey, he's on the line with us right now. What a great story about his roots and how their music evolved and his family roots and, you know, the people he's met and all the friends that he has. And, you know, you guys are a lot like Elvis Presley in a sense. Kentucky Headhunters, man, you guys are huge over here in the Ozarks. And that being said, October the 7th, Van Buren, Missouri, the Landing Riverfront right there along the current river, October 7th, the Kentucky Headhunters will be live. And there's going to be two or three other bands opening up before the Kentucky Headhunters go on stage. It's going to be a huge turnout. And you can get your tickets online. I think K-Country 95, KKOZ, KWOC, KAPE, they're all going to be marketing it. And we want to see a big turnout for these guys. These guys are turkey hunters, deer hunters, and they are hillbillies gone wild, Redbone.
Yeah, I reckon there's any chance I could get like a free ticket and a backstage pass.
I'm sure.
Because that's my birthday.
Hey, Richard, you think we can get Redbone in the backstage with us?
Well, sure. We know so many people in every state that there's more people backstage than there is out front.
Well, do you remember the first time you and I met personally, Matt? Can you remember it?
Well, we was talking about hunting. I know that.
Well, here's what we did. You was playing the casino in St. Charles, Missouri, up by St. Louis, and I was doing the Bass Pro Shops, and I pulled into my motel room. I can't even remember the name of the motel, fancy motel, and there I seen Freddie standing out front, and he was spitting chewing tobacco. And I said to myself, when I walked in, I said, I know that freaking guy. I've seen that guy. Then all of a sudden, you're in there checking into your room, and you walk up to me, and you go, dude, Alex. That's what you said, Alex.
Wait a minute. I've seen you on the deer hunting show.
Yes. You said you're Alex Rutledge. I know you. I watch your videos. I know you, buddy. I'm a deer hunter and turkey. My buddy, brother Freddie's outside. So we went outside and we talked for an hour before we went to motel room.
I remember that now. And you was driving some kind of snazzy car.
Yeah, yellow pickup. A Hunter Specialist yellow and green truck. And the next day, here's what Richard done for me. You ready? He blew Bass Pro's mind. He come in there during my seminar and talked to everybody.
Wow.
Fred, Richard did. People went crazy over you, didn't they, Richard? They did.
Well,
they loved you.
I don't. They probably went crazy because I was in there. They want me to go leave. Hey, but now I can't leave here without saying something about the, you know, besides all this other mess I fool with the headhunters, you know.
Yeah, Blackstone.
I helped Blackstone. Yeah. Blackstone Cherry's my son's band. He's a crazy drummer. And I helped get them started. But I got to tell y'all have already, some of y'all have probably done seen them. There's a new band I'm working with. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Uh-oh.
To try to help young folks.
Yep.
And I saw this band in Georgia, and they blew my mind. I thought I'd found a time capsule.
I bet I've heard of
1972. And if y'all get a chance, we got the new album coming out on them. Blackstone Cherry's new album comes out September 29th.
Okay.
And we got a new single coming out on the Thunderbolts, Georgia Thunderbolts, be out the 14th.
Yep, Thunderbolts. And, I've seen them.
If you like the headhunters and you like the fact that we grew up down here on the farm and all this mess is coming out of here in Kentucky, then y'all check it out. We'd appreciate any listens.
You bet, Richard.
Yeah, I'll make sure I put a link down to their stuff, too, so people can check them out even further.
Yeah, Richard, we need. Could you think we could get something signed by all of you guys, maybe an autographed picture, a cap or something we can give away on our podcast to our listeners? We'll draw a name. You think we can get one sent to
us? Well, I mean, of course you can.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Are you going to be at that show?
You know I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to bring my double nickel, my 55 Chevy. You get in early, we're going to go cruising around.
Well, there's a car show that day.
Well, listen, Alec, here's what we need to do.
All right.
Is you need to tell me, and we'll get two or three items together, some nice things.
Okay.
We need to get y'all like an LP from On Safari.
Yes.
That would flip people out.
Yes.
And a cap, you know, a couple of camouflage caps.
Yes.
We'll do several things. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is, Wayne, tell them how we do this, the podcast, how we give away stuff.
Yeah, we have a couple different ways. A lot of times we'll have them leave us a review, and then we'll draw a name of everybody that's left a review on the podcast, and we'll give them a lucky item from that episode, from that guest from that episode, or we'll run a thing on Facebook, you know, some kind of a contest, you know, like we had one where we did a recipe book that a guy autographed, and somebody, all they had to do was, like, leave a recipe, their favorite recipe, and then we just drew out of that. So there's all kinds of different things we can do.
Well, y'all, wait a minute. I just thought of something. Alec, you need to remind me, we need to give y'all a couple of our new albums.
Yes, so we give away on the live show. We give away on
y'all,
the live show.
Y'all ain't heard the last one. That's a badass boat, dude. It's called That's a Fact Jack.
Oh, I like it. That's a Fact Jack.
New album's great. We cut it during COVID. They said we shouldn't get together, but we did.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to that on the way in here.
Yeah,
that new album,
fun
the
record,
cuts.
Man.
Yeah,
and y'all need to have Alec listen to that.
I'm going to listen to it.
Let's all get together and fight.
Yeah, are you coming in that morning to Van Buren early, or what time you think you're going to arrive?
Well, it'd be early, but I can't mess with y'all too early now. I'm old. I got to sleep.
Well, we're going to go eat us a good breakfast.
Well, that ain't going to happen with me because I don't get up for breakfast.
All right, what time you want me to pick you up?
I don't know. Maybe I get some sleep that night.
All right. Well, listen,
you know,
I'll
don't
be
bother Fred, though, because he don't get up to 4 o'clock.
Well, you don't go to bed till
he
5 o'clock.
He stays up all night.
Right. Well, there you have it, everybody. Richard Young, Kentucky Headhunters. Go follow these guys. Buy their albums. Buy their iTunes music. Support these guys. They are true American hillbillies gone wild.
And be at the show in Van Buren on October 7th.
Yeah. You get to meet Richard
and
Freddie.
Alec?
Yeah.
Alec, listen to me.
Yeah.
I'll go to bed early. If we're going to go eat some eggs and bacon and sausage and toast, I'll get up.
Okay, well, we'll talk between now and then.
Well, yes, sir. And,
yep.
Guys, I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you having me for the Headhunters on the show and getting to talk about Itchy Brother and the Blackstone Terrier.
Yes.
Georgia Thunderbolts and the Headhunters and Roy Rogers and everything.
Well, I can tell you this, Richard. Every guy here in this studio that's listening to you right now recording this loves you. They love your band. You are America. That's all I got to say.
Well, I'm American, all right. Down here in this hall, I'm down here at Mom and Daddy's. I got 17 cats out here waiting for me to feed them. See, Mom and Daddy passed away, and I have to see about all their cats. And it's one thing after another.
Hey, listen, we're going to wrap her up here. Listen, don't hang up because we're going to get you to do a throw for our show. We need you to say something after we do this. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to wrap it up. Here we go.
Everybody, right, bye.
No, don't hang up.
I'm not hanging up.
Right,
I just
Richard.
Say bye.
Remember,
when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
Sitting still till it's time to shoot. American roots. Take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek of a beer.